Chapter 13. Next morning, Cuff didn't leave for Fritzing Hall straight away, as expected. I met Mr. Franklin on his favourite walk down the bushy path. The sergeant joined us. "What do you want?" Mr. Franklin said to him sharply.
"I want to remind you, sir,"
Cuff replied,
"that I am an officer of the law, and it is your duty to give me any special information which you possess."
"I have no special information,
and have nothing to say." "Not even about Rosanna Spearman?"
said Cuff.
"Hasn't she spoken to you, or tried to speak to you?"
As Cuff said this, Rosanna appeared nearby. Penelope was with her, obviously trying to make her go back inside. Seeing Mr. Franklin, Rosanna stopped. Cuff, pretending not to notice them, said loudly,
"You needn't be afraid of harming the girl, sir."
"I take no interest in Rosanna Spearman," Mr. Franklin replied. Hearing this, Rosanna turned away. She let my daughter take her by the hand and lead her inside.
"I shall go to Fritzing Hall now, Mr. Betteridge," Cuff said quietly. "Expect me back at 2.
After breakfast, after Mr. Franklin had left for a long walk in the rain, Penelope came to me. "Please talk to Rosanna, Father," she said. "I'm so worried about her. Mr. Franklin has hurt her cruelly without intending it." I asked her why she was in the garden. "She wanted to speak to him," she replied. "I tried to stop her. I told her she was stupid to expect him to take any interest in her. She frightened me, Father. She turned to stone when he said those words. Since then, she's gone around in a kind of dream." We found her sweeping a corridor. There was a strange dullness in her eyes. "Cheer up, Rosanna," I said. "If you've got something on your mind, you can tell me. I'm your friend." She went on sweeping, more like a machine than a living person.
"Yes," she said. "I will tell. But Mr. Franklin, not you. But I shan't trouble him today."
"You can tell me, if it will relieve your mind," said Penelope.
"No," she said to herself. "I know a better way of relieving my mind."
We left her as we had found her, like a woman in a dream. She should see a doctor, I thought, then remembered that Dr. Candy was extremely ill. There was his strange assistant, Ezra Jennings, but I, and no one else, trusted him. Cuff returned at 2:10.
"I saw the Indians with Mr. Murthwaite," he said. "They will be set free on Wednesday. There is no doubt that they came here to steal the moonstone, but I am equally sure they have nothing to do with the loss of the jewel. One thing is certain, Mr. Betteridge. If we don't find it, they will."
Mr. Franklin, returning, passed us in silence.
"Rosanna bought a length of plain cloth," said Cuff, "enough to make a nightgown. Plain cloth means servant's cloth. But why, having made the replacement, does she hide the smeared nightgown instead of destroying it? There is only one way of finding out if she won't tell us. We must search the shivering sand."
Samuel arrived with Miss Rachel's carriage at 2.
"When you leave," said Cuff, "you'll see a man waiting among the trees by the gates. He'll jump up on the back of the carriage." "All right."
My lady came out, said nothing to me or Cuff, and stood stiffly waiting for her daughter. Rachel came downstairs, colourless, her eyes bright and fierce. She kissed her mother hurriedly, said,
"Try to forgive me, Mama,"
and ran to the carriage. Cuff jumped in front of her. "What do you want?" she said angrily.
"Your leaving makes it extremely difficult for me to find the diamond," said Cuff.
She got in and ordered the carriage to leave. My lady, in sorrow and shame, turned to go inside, nearly bumping into Mr. Franklin as he ran down the steps. "Goodbye, Rachel," he shouted, waving. "Drive on," Miss Rachel shouted to Samuel. Mr. Franklin called after my lady as the carriage drove away. "Aunt, you were right. Now I must leave. Thank you for all your kindness." Tears in her eyes, my lady went inside. Mr. Franklin turned to me. "Please, Betteridge, get me to the station," he said, and went inside.
"It's time to sort this business out," said Cuff.
"Where's Rosanna Spearman?" "We asked servants. She hadn't been seen for an hour."
"Your dear Rosanna won't slip through my fingers that easily," he said. "She and Miss Rachel will meet at Fritzing Hall. She's either gone there, before I can get there, or she's gone to the Shivering Sand."
Nancy, the kitchen maid, said she had seen Rosanna stop the butcher, who had just delivered meat to the house, and ask him to post a letter. The butcher had said it was a complicated way to send a letter to the fishing village, that it wouldn't get there until Monday. Rosanna had said that it didn't matter how long it took to arrive, and the butcher had driven away with it. "Well?" I asked, when we were alone again.
"The hiding place is in that letter," Cuff replied. "I shall pay Mrs. Yolland another visit on Monday."